Hey, Dad. What was Grandpa like whenever you were my age?
I don't know. He's like a dad.
Did Grandpa make you listen to this terrible music?
You mean, did he culture me? You bet he did.
Did Grandpa get lost too?
Sometimes. We're not lost.
Recalculating route to your destination. You will arrive in approximately 2 days, 3 hours of...
What's your license insurance?
Did Grandpa have a lead foot too?
Amen.
Grandpa teach you to pray before every meal like that?
Yeah, for every meal.
Did Grandpa do that too?
Yeah.
You really are a lot like him, aren't you? I hope I'm like you whenever I grow up.
What's with all the lollygagging? I'm not paying you guys to sit around and look at pictures. Chop chop! My stuff's not gonna get to a condo on the golf course by itself.
Has Grandpa always been so bossy?
Always.
Is he actually banging us?
Not a chance.
You really are a lot like him, aren't you?
Love it!
Good morning, and I would like to wish all the dads a happy and blessed Father's Day. And it means a lot to all of us what this day means to us. So today we celebrate fathers and all they either mean or meant to us. And fathers clearly have an influence on us. Perhaps of all the influence in our lives, the father lingers the longest. And like it or not, we are all influenced by many things. Not just fathers, of course, that's important, but a lot of things influence. I mean, you just think of things simple as fashion. I mean, how many times have you looked at an old photo or something you used to wear and you shook your head about it? And we couldn't believe we wore that, or that hairstyle. And fashions change. They just do, you know. There was a time when you wouldn't consider preaching without a suit and tie on. And I suspect someday that'll probably come back. It's just the culture and the fashion. My wife, Chris, is influenced greatly by fashion. At least my fashion. I know this because there's many times when I leave the house, she'll say, "Are you really wearing that?" I mean, I don't see a problem with it, but I guess I'm not allowed in public. And as fashions change, we change along with it. Several years ago, we were at one of our son's basketball games, and I noticed as we were sitting there, every child, every kid had the same basketball shoe on. And there were different teams, and each team had a different shoe, but every team had the same shoe on, you know, for that team. And whatever was in for that particular school, each kid had that particular shoe. And I remember our son, you know, the shoes at the time were like, whatever they were, $120, $140, and I had never paid more than, you know, I think $8 for a pair of shoes. That's a little exaggeration, but I never paid that much at that time. And so we paid what we would normally pay, and he had to pay the difference. But nevertheless, I remember sitting there and I started calculating that each team had a total of $2,000 in shoes. Two teams, that's $4,000. And with JV and varsity playing, that's $8,000 in shoes alone in one school one evening, all to play with a $15 basketball. And these shoes were not the $4 Keds that I wore growing up. Why is that happening? Because of influence. We're all influenced by our surroundings, from coworkers to neighbors to fellow congregants to music to TV, certainly to parents. We are influenced. It's a long list. It's not necessarily all bad influence, but it is influence. And so the real question is, when you think of our influences and the things that impact us, where does the world's influence in your life leave off? And your influence on the world, or closer to home, your family, begin? You have an influence one way or the other. And we recognize the biblical truth that we are in the world, but not of it. We see that through Jesus' prayer just before the garden, that we are in the world, but not of it. The problem comes from being in some place without being influenced by it. That's just the reality. And Scripture is not silent on this. There are several places that Scripture addresses this, if you will, for us. We'll look at one this morning in Romans 12, 1 and following. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And when he says, I beseech you, it's I urge you. It's a strong word. I'm urging you, please, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And it's a wonderful scripture. And when he says be transformed, the Greek word is metamorpho. It's a little hard to pronounce, but it's we get metamorphosis from it, that you be transformed, completely different, and that you renew your mind. And the wording there is to renovate, like you would renovate a building. But it's like saying he wants you to take your mind and put it back to the way that God created. Because when you renovate something, you put it back like it was originally. And he said, I'm trying to get you not to be conformed to this world that you already are, because now you need to be transformed through the power of our God and get your mind to think like God intended it to. The Message Bible puts it this way. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Ouch. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always drag you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Well put, amen? So how we got to think about it. We're always talking and recognizing often from the pulpit the influence the world has on it. And so we look to a day that we celebrate fathers, of course, that influence families, but we all have influence, and we're all influenced as well. Paul encourages us in Philippians 2:15, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. That's really God's goal for you and for me. And when I read that, I got some work to do. How about you? That's just a reality, but that's God's goal, that you become blameless, pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved, New King James says, perverse generation, that you shine like stars in the universe. You stand out. People see something about you and your influence. And really, throughout Scripture, you realize the Holy Spirit recognized that it's natural, in the natural, you're going to be drawn to and influenced by the ways of the world. That's reality. The only alternative is to be drawn by the ways of God, growing and maturing as you follow him and his word, changing, transforming everything about you. Your mind, your life, your actions, your thoughts, are to become godlike. And the warning, I think, is clear, though you may have missed it. We need to live our lives constantly on guard to the influence of the world around us. That's a reality. You need to be aware of it. We need to develop a discerning mind so we're quick to reject the wrong influence, fleeing if we need to. Years ago, Chris and I met a couple who were very wealthy, upper income to say the least. The man we met through some mutual friends that had talked about him for some time, and the individual was very wealthy, but he had made his money in pornography, in the porn industry. He was a right-hand man to a man called Reuben Sturman, who at the time was the king of pornography and one of the wealthiest men in America from it. He made close to $300 million per year. And it was said as that there was nothing in the, at that time that was involved pornography that didn't go through his hands first. Had a tremendous stronghold. He was eventually, Reuben Sturman, convicted and died in prison. And they actually, when you do some study on it, you'll see, I was kind of reading some things going to get caught up, and when he was arrested, it actually opened the floodgates because he had such a stronghold in this country on it. The others began to start spreading even more pornography. But he died in prison. So this individual that we met that was making this money in the porn industry, some close friend of ours that knew Christ would witness to them. But at the time, they didn't want to hear it. The man was Jewish. He said he thought religion was nonsense, but they didn't want to hear it. In the meantime, the wife of the wealthy couple, she becomes pregnant. The baby arrives, but he has serious problems. I believe it was liver function, but it was life-threatening. They life-flighted the baby to Rainbow Babies and Children. Didn't look good at all. So our friends pray for the baby, go to the hospital, pray for the baby. They put the baby on the prayer chain. And at the church we were attending at the time. And the baby is abruptly healed. I mean, dramatically healed. And so the man realizes this is significantly prayer. It had to be prayer. It was such a dramatic healing. The doctors couldn't explain it. So the man's driving along, and he's thinking about this. He shared this with me as I got to know him. And he's thinking this has to be this prayer, and he's thinking about God, and he feels a hand on his shoulder, and he's convinced it's God's hand, and he and his wife come and accept Christ. The miracle was so obvious and so profound, they accept Christ, and they just began to love God and love his word. They were at church. We got to know them through that. That's how we finally met them. And so this went on for some time, and they're growing, and I've been talking to him, and the problem was the man refused to leave his job. Many counseled him to, you know, he began to learn that porn was an abomination of God, the money was cursed, he needed to separate from evil. And he thought, if I could earn just a little bit more money, then I'm going to leave this. He would tell me that. I remember him saying, I need to put a little more money aside, I'm making so much money. I remember him telling me, he said, it's difficult now. He said, you know, this stuff comes across my desk every day, and he said, I actually hate it now. I used to be drawn to it. He said, I know this is horrible. He said, but I have to make a little bit more money, and then I'm done with this. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that finally, over time, not that long, they left Christ. They no longer want anything to do with it. The influence of the world in which he lived was too much. A few more dollars. The devil will always justify your sin. A little bit longer. One more time. And God says, don't listen. Don't conform. Do not, as the world, renew and change your mind to God's way. Don't be impacted by everything around you. He said, in the process, you're going to prove what is God's good, pleasing, perfect will in your life. And if you really pay close attention, all throughout the Word, we see this reoccurring theme. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful of the world. Be careful of its influence. And instead, be an influencer for God in your world. You be the influencer. And why is God so adamant about this? Why does he make such a big deal about you're in the world but not of it? And the reality, he kind of makes that clear. Just answer this question. What is the path of the world? Where is the world going? Who are they following and who are they listening to? Jesus addresses this in John. And as we look to it, I want you to notice that God sees two worlds. He sees this cosmic battle, if you will. He sees the world of kingdom of God and the kingdom of the fallen world, the devil. And so we pick this up. Jesus is having a dispute with the Pharisees. They're disputing with Christ, giving him a hard time. They claim that first that their father is Abraham. Then they claim, well, we have only one father, and that's God. And you got to love how Christ responded in John 8, 42 and 44. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come from myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You're of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." What a statement on Father's Day. You know? And God is saying there's two fathers, if you will. There's the Heavenly Father, and there's the liar, the thief, the destroyer, the accuser of the brethren, Satan. And he's really saying that those in the world, though they may not know it, they may not recognize it, if they don't know God through Jesus Christ, their father is a devil. And he uses strong words. He's a murderer and a liar. 2 Corinthians says he's the god, little g, of this world, of this age. And so where is their father leading them? His purpose is very clear. We look at, and have in times past, the craziness of the laws and where our society is going. You got to understand who's leading them. If you have any kind of biblical morals and anchor in your life, we look at these things that are happening in society and go, how can this continue? It's because there's a path and an influence. And the purpose of the evil one, Jesus told us in John 10:10, we've seen it so many times, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Is there any wonder why God is so adamant about resisting the influence of the world? And actually, the warning increases throughout the word continually. Why? Because evil increases. That's not a tough argument to make anymore when you look at, as we've just mentioned, all the craziness of the world. I mean, this is not, you know, when I was young, this is not the world that I live in today. It's not the world I grew up in as a young person, nor yours either. The world's changing dramatically. Few would argue with the truth that the world is becoming more violent with each passing year. There's more stealing, more killing, more wars, more drug dealers, an increasing list day by day, and now we live with terrorists and the insanity of active shooters. I mean, it's different. Such is the way and the path of the world. And God is saying in a sinful, carnal, lustful world, the draw to be influenced and affected by it becomes stronger along with it. It's the path of the world. And you would think it'd be just the opposite. Sadly, it's not. You would think as the world gets more crazy, it'd be easier to resist it. But we know that's not true. Why? The desires of the flesh. This battle, this wrestling we have. The world comes along and offers all these things, and they look so good. They look so tempting. It's never been more important now than now to resist the ways and the influence of the world. And it's never been more important to engage the world and your family with godly influence. To be that father or that mother or that individual in your life, that the individual you are in your life, to influence your world and your family for the things of God. The world's crying out for that kind of thing. And the answer is not to run away from the world, but to run into it. But to run into the world with a discerning heart and a strong godly influence. Because if you take the thinking as some cults, if you will, or some faiths do, you serve God, but you do it almost in a commune. You know, you separate from the world so much that you're just going to be around because you have this truth. And God says just the opposite. You're not of the world, but you're in it. And you are a light. You are the salt of the earth. You need to be impacting your world and influencing your world. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever lot in life you have an influence in your world. People need a Savior and they need you to point them to Him. And how do they recognize the difference if we're behaving in the same manner in the world? How will they see God in us if we're not reflecting Him? And we watch this declining morality of the world and you listen daily to the bad news report. It's a reality. It's important to remember that God has entrusted you with his answer, his good news. I mean, in our high-tech society, we can listen to news broadcasts 24/7. You know, turn on the TV, there's a cable program or something, news program. Put up an app on your phone, go on your computer, 24/7 with bad news. Disaster and tragedy, that's what you see. You know, the old expression on the news is, if it bleeds, it leads. I mean, whatever tragic thing, that's what we're seeing every day, and we get jaded by that. I've said this before, I'd love to see a channel 24/7 filled with good news. It's the good news channel. And certainly the good news of Christ as Lord and Savior, but even more than that, what Jesus does on a daily basis in our world that's not reported. We interrupt this broadcast with more good news. The father that was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor has just been declared healed by his doctors. There's no scientific reasoning available. The family said they had prayed and Jesus answered their prayers. This just in, the young wife who previously was unable to get pregnant delivered a beautiful girl that doctors are calling it a miracle. Wouldn't you love to have a channel like that? Because that's what's happening in our world. Hey, did you see on the TV what happened in Indiana? Did you see over in Texas? I mean, those kind of things. But that's not what we're seeing every day. But that's what God is doing. God and his word make it clear that there is an influence and an evil that is in the world that we are to avoid. And as you survey the current landscape of morality of our country, it's clear there's no shortages of the devil's man or the devil's woman. From terrorists to drug dealers to co-workers who mock Christ to parents who are alcoholics, I mean, on and on, you fill in the blanks, but there's no shortage of people that are representing evil, sometimes without realizing it. There's no shortage of the devil's man or woman. We need an abundance of God's men and women. A good friend of mine, Reverend Randy Hansen, he was a missionary to Jamaica for a number of years. He's back in Florida now, but we used to go see him quite often. I got close with him in Jamaica. I remember one time I was over there and just having a nice time ministering in the city, in the streets there. And Randy introduced me to this young man. I really liked this young fellow. He was really kind of getting involved in the church. Randy began to tell me about him. He said, years ago, he said, I've always was kind of drawn to him, there's always something about him. And he said, one day I was just in church and I saw him and I just want to encourage him. He goes, hello there, young man of God. Well, this young man of God began to grow and mature and eventually became into the ministry. He got real involved. And he later on told Randy, he said, you know, you may not remember this, but when you called me a man of God, he said, that changed my life. He said, I was following God, but I got to thinking, could I really be a man of God? I mean, could I be recognized as somebody that represents God? And he wound up seeking God and wound up in a ministry. Just from that one statement, if you will. I mean, obviously God had a lot more to do with it. But Randy had a tremendous influence in this young man's life. Randy said, I was just trying to encourage him at the time. Hello, young man of God. The Bible refers to the man of God, one being Moses, other places. It refers to the child of God numerous times. So is it your desire to be recognized as a man of God or a woman of God? That's a good question this morning. I'm not talking about, oh, I want to serve God, I want to be a Christian. I want to know, do you want to be recognized? Somebody sees you and go, oh, yeah, that's one of those Christ followers. That's that Bible thumper. Good. Let me thump you over the head with it. Well, maybe that's a little extreme. That's not going to work. I've tried it, and it's never worked. The more godly you are, the more godly influence you'll have on your family, your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, your friends, because you are an influencer. It's just whose side are you on that you're influencing. People try to navigate the difficult, painful events of life. It tears them down, and they're influenced by the deceiver to find ways to relieve the stress and the pain. People run around seeking good feelings for the moment, anything to shut away this hurt or this frustration or this confusion. It's easy to get caught in that trap, and it's likewise important to remember John 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The trap the enemy sets in is good fun for a moment is destructive. Way too many people have been destroyed by those traps. Jesus describes the devil's tactics and then declares God's purpose. We know the scripture. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Many have found out, as I did, that you can experience the world's fun with no joy in your life. God's abundant life is a life that has true fun, but with a deep inner joy included. God doesn't have a problem with you having fun. I mean, he gave us humor and fun. I mean, where do we get the emotion of laughter? It was created by God. Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. We know when somebody has a cheerful countenance, and we know when somebody doesn't, don't we? And what if that countenance is buoyed by God? I mean, there are some people that I've learned, I don't ask them how their day's going. You know what I'm talking about? Because I'm going to hear it. It's like, oh, my, what was I thinking when I had, how you doing, how's your day? And I take off, you know? But there are others that are so full of God and life that you just want to talk to them. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. God wants you joyful, happy. I believe if God is delighted when you experience good, godly fun, just remember, he wants you to go far deeper than just fun. He calls it joy. I'm certain we all desire more joy in our life. In fact, if I were to take a vote, I'm certain we all desire more joy, more peace, more love, holiness, purity, and truth in our lives. Because that's what God's all about. And if we desire these things, we need to realize who is the source of these things. Because the only way you're going to get those is to go to the source. It's not hard to figure out that the closer you are to God, the more peace, the more joy, the more love, the more holiness, the more purity, the more truth you will have in your life. So, are you on the right path? Are you walking that path? How many of you have gone hiking in the past? How many of you have gone hiking and enjoyed it? A few less hands. Some of you enjoyed it. It's a good thing to do. Imagine you're hiking and you're trying to walk two paths at one time. You're hiking and there's two paths and you can say, I'm going to take them both. You can't do it. You have to choose that path. And God's saying to us this morning, there are two paths. You can't walk them both at the same time, but we sure try. He said, quit jumping from path to path. Stay on my path. John 10 tells us, as we saw, the thief comes to take, to steal, kill, and destroy. God comes to give life, that you might have life, that you might have life abundantly. And have means to possess, that you might possess this life of God. Are you functioning the life of God continually? Whatever challenge you meet? I mean, I love when my life is going along and things are good, things are smooth. I'll send a memo when that happens shortly, hopefully, you know. But, I mean, we have those seasons, those mornings at least, you know, and I'm just being silly. But I mean, you know, we have our seasons in our life when things are good, things are smooth. And then we have these seasons where something hits us that we weren't waiting for, we weren't expecting, we didn't want, and we got to face it. And we have learned that we can face those things and go through them with a deep inner peace and joy only by hanging on to God. The only way to possess God. Acts 17:28, for in him we live. In him we move, in him we exist, we have our being. Everything about you should declare in him. And when everything about you declares in him, you will have a godly influence. We know that we become a man or woman of God. We know that when that happens, the Holy Spirit resides within us. And consider the contrast. One without Jesus has as his father the devil. I mean, the world would mock you and laugh at you if you just started telling people that all the time. But Jesus didn't have a problem with it. And I'll leave that kind of thing to Jesus. You know, I'm not saying you should go around and tell people, your father's the devil. He's a murderer, you know, because it's probably not going to work well. But it's the truth. And God, I think God's trying to get our attention to realize, even though before we knew Christ, our eyes were blinded to that. We didn't ever recognize that. But the one that does not know Jesus has as his father the devil. He literally belongs to, is a child of the devil because he's sinned and does not know Christ for saving. And the stark contrast is your father, the devil, versus your father, God. The Father, the Heavenly Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Man, that's a contrast. And the man of God, the woman of God, has the fruit of the Holy Spirit growing inside of them along with it. And God's person will influence his surrounding with the things of God. And the Holy Spirit has a work in your life. Wants to change your life, to be more of an influencer. And the Holy Spirit's work, we know, it's called what? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What if I passed out a test this morning and each of these you had to respond to? Do you full of love? 0 to 100, where are you at? Joy. How much peace do you have in your life? Right now? This morning? Depends on the morning, right? Is that the way God says? Well, you know, some mornings are going to be worse than others. Some days are going to stink. Some weeks are going to be hard. So don't expect any peace. But that's how we think. We got a right to be like this. If we passed out a test, how much patience do you have? Quit asking me these stupid questions, right? Come on. How much kindness and gentleness? I mean, on and on. Because that's the work. And we look at that and we can get beat up about it. Hey, I'm not doing too good. I got maybe a C. At least last time I got a D, I went up a little bit, you know. And we look at that, and God said, wait a minute. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So as you seek God, as you follow God, as you hold on to God, as you're influenced by God, you will have more love, joy, peace, patience, and the list goes on. You'll change that. 2 Peter informs us that God, through his divine power, has given you everything you need for life and godliness. And we miss that. That you already possess everything you're ever going to need to have this godly life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:2-4. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Can you shout hallelujah? You know, I'm preaching better than you're shouting this morning. Come on. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Some translations say to become a partaker of the divine nature of God and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Hallelujah. I mean, it's right there. The man or woman of God who insists on being influenced by the things of God will touch others with God. You will influence others. Let's be influencers of God. The world is full of ungodly influence. Choose to make a difference in your world. And at the same time, never forget God's warning. Be careful. Watch out. Acknowledge the problem, acknowledge the influence, acknowledge the draw. I know I've shared this story before, but it's such a good example of the pulls of the world. This was years ago, long before I pastored. I went on a revival trip with Reverend Dennis Heber, a week-long revival meeting. I went to another country, West Virginia. And that's not a slam on West Virginia. It's just a different culture. I mean, it's like you went somewhere else, you know. And we went there, and some great people there. We had a great week, wonderful week. People love God. And so it was Friday night. Friday night, we had a whole week of revival service carried into the weekend. And Friday night, we all went out with the pastor and the church and went to the Pizza Hut. There was one of the old restaurants around there with Pizza Hut. And so we left there, and we're heading back to our hotel. Following the pastor, he makes a left turn at the stop sign. I go to pull out, and I just stop. I remember Dennis going, why'd you stop? And I said, I'm not sure. I stopped for a little bit, and then I made the left cut and started going. And if you've ever driven in West Virginia, there's hills and curves, and at night it's dark. It's, you know, it's a beautiful country. But the reality is it's kind of crazy to drive there at night. And we come around this curve, and I had to slam on my brakes. There's a pickup truck that had rolled and flipped and wound up back on its wheels right in the middle of the road. I found out later by the pastor that he had made a left-hand turn, and when I pulled out to follow him, when I stopped, apparently by the Holy Spirit, that guy almost ran him off the road. A semi-truck swerved and almost ran the pastor off the road, and I'd have been the next car. We'd have probably been that pickup truck flipped over because the semi-truck hit him. And so we pull when we get out, and, I mean, the truck's back up, but it's a mess, and there's a guy laying on the road, and his head's gone. And he's moaning. And I'm thinking, this doesn't make any sense. I could see his head, and I could see his body, and I hear him moaning. Well, it turned out when I put the lights of the truck on, the head was a motorcycle helmet. His jeans jacket was up over his head, but it was a little weird, you know? So I go over to the guy, and he's hurt. He's really hurt, and he's moaning. And meanwhile, this real big guy gets out of the pickup truck that had rolled around and back up on his wheels. And he comes over, and he's trying to get the guy up. We're going to get out of here. I said, leave him alone. He's hurt. You know, he gets mad at me. He said, leave him alone. It's hurt. So he's all upset. Meanwhile, this girl runs out of her house, and she said, I called the police, and the big guy that got out of the truck, he yells, he said, Cheryl, it's me. Cancel the call. I mean, it's getting weirder all the time. Cancel the call. So he goes back in his truck, and he's rummaging around for something. He's trying to get me to let this guy get up so they can get out of there. And he's looking through the truck, and I found out later, he comes out with the screwdriver. And I found out what he was looking for, that one of the guys from the church had walked up to the accident, was following us, and he stepped on something that was a gun. He picked it up. His wife yelled at him, as wives will do, and get rid of that gun. He threw it in the truck. And so the guy's looking for the gun. He comes out with a screwdriver, and I could tell as he was coming towards me, he wasn't going to adjust his headlights. He was pretty angry. Now, when he had first gotten out of the truck, and he yelled, this woman, Cheryl, somebody asked him how he was doing. He says, well, I hurt my shoulder. But then that's when the whole thing got kind of crazy when he goes to the screwdriver. And he's coming at me with this screwdriver. I mean, my first reaction, you know, certainly before the Lord, but even since then, I mean, you're going to defend yourself. You're not going to tolerate that. But the Spirit of God hit me. And I looked at him and I said, what's wrong with your shoulder? And I reached up and touched his shoulder. And those that were standing around said it was like this blanket of peace just fell. Powerful move of God. So he talks about his shoulder and he gets back in the truck and he leaves. And he comes back somewhere and a few minutes later with another truck. And he's going to pull this other truck away. He kind of got the guy up and I'm so concerned about it. And I felt the Lord said, just leave it alone. Leave it alone. So I backed off. It was a crazy story. It's getting crazier. So he takes off pulling this old beat up, flipped up over, messed up truck down the road. And I'm driving back to the hotel after that and I'm thinking about this guy laying on the road. And I begin to weep. I mean, really weep. Here's this guy on the road, hurt, badly damaged. This other guy's trying to get him out of there. It was such, I was really concerned. So I found out, you know, when you live in a small town, whether it's West Virginia or Auburn, if something happens, you're going to find out about it. And find out the next day, they drag this truck down the road, and sparks are flying. And they're concerned about it. There's gas everywhere. And they pull in this gas station, and the police are looking for him now. And that's why they wanted to get out of there, because they were wanted by the police. That's what these people began to tell me. And so they hide in the gas station, and the police apprehend them. And the church people would tell us the next day, because everybody knows everybody out there, he said, listen, he said, this is Friday night up here in West Virginia. You're dressed in a tie, and you don't sound like you're from here. They probably thought you were the FBI. They were threatened. They're wanted by the police. And they said, these guys are so bad. That's a true story. He said, the Hell's Angels in the area, when they want something done that's so bad, they go to these guys for it. So that's how bad these guys were. I said, that's really weird. And so I start to ask about how the guy's doing on the road that was laying there. And this is what I found out why I was still emotional today. And I was just so upset when I thought about it. The guy that was laying on the road that fell out of the truck, and he's hurt and he's wounded, and this other guy, he's in this terrible situation. They said, oh, yeah, he used to be a really good, really strong Pentecostal preacher in the area. Backslidden Pentecostal preacher. I don't know what he had in his life that he allowed into his life. He went from serving God, speaking the truth, to laying on the side of the road, wanted by the police, drunk. Why? He allowed the influences of the world to come in. He took the wrong path. Now, that's an extreme story, but it's a reality of what the devil wants in your life and in my life. And it's a direct opposite of what God wants. He wants you full of life, full of truth, full of joy, full of peace, full of love, kindness, gentleness. He wants you to just radiate God and be an influencer for those in your world. I invite the worship team to come forward. 1 John 4:4 tells us this. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I mean, it's a reminder. We could spend a good deal of time just in that scripture, but he's saying you're a child of God. You belong to God, and you've overcome at this point in place, sir, the false teachers, the lies of the world. You've overcome it because you have the greater one living in you. And if we don't remember anything else, if we just remember that as we navigate through this world and the craziness of it, that we have the Heavenly Father in us, that we know the true Father, that we have the living, risen Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, that every day, that you've already been given everything you need to live a godly life. Let's stand and worship our holy God this morning.